Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Tanner Zagarino episode. Man, I had a real good talk with Tanner, and my favorite part of his interview was talking about wrestling. Just taking a walk down memory lane. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time on the podcast, actor Tanner Zagarino. How you doing, man? Thanks for coming. I'm so excited for this. Oh, you got to be. Yeah, that's you. That's you.
I feel so good. So many stickers, you guys.
It's just
part of the.
It's part of the, you know, we have a small operation here.
Feng Shui.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm mostly excited because you're a fellow wrestler.
Wrestler. That's how we connected. I saw you on Instagram. You following Yanni Diakmahalis.
Yeah.
We graduated the
Phenom.
Same year. Phenom.
I saw that match, by the way, the Beat the Streets, the kid from Georgia.
Dude, I thought he was better than that guy. That freestyle.
He had him.
We see the double leg.
They both had their legs.
So crazy.
It's kind of like a video game where they had the same skill set.
Yeah, those guys were very similar wrestlers. That whole org. Do you see like a bunch of things are doing new wrestling things? Like there's UFC Fight Pass is doing wrestling matches now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, like I said, we differ in age. When I was coming up in wrestling at Poway, there wasn't so much funk. Like
yeah,
my
wasn't
coach never taught that.
Like passing ankles and whatnot.
Or no, just when someone shoots on you and you're doing that, you sprawl.
Yeah, you get your fucking legs back,
you
dude.
You sprawl, you put in a whizzer.
Yeah.
And you try to fight it out.
Also, I came up wrestling at a different time than you, but that shit's still very relevant. A lot of traditionalists. Look at Iowa, man. That's Iowa South. You see people passing legs at Iowa? That doesn't really happen.
I'm a fan of their program.
Yeah,
man.
That's the way.
The Brands brothers have done an excellent job.
That's the way.
Terry and... You
gotta get them on the pod. That'd be an intense podcast.
I'll have to do 100 push-ups before that.
They'd be like, they'd make you do sprints.
This is
a baby show.
So you're from, I want to get into your career as well, but like, tell us about your background and how you, like, as far as how you got into wrestling and then later into acting and all that.
Born in Los Angeles, California.
Wow, okay.
Moved to Long Island, New York when I was 5.
Wow.
So my dad was a wrestler, but he was acting at the time, and then, you know, shit started slowing down. He was like a B-list actor for a while. He was like big in like a lot of, I'm surprised you don't have a sticker of him. He's like very stickery.
Yeah.
He was in this movie called Shadow Chaser that was
real
cult
classic.
Germans loved it.
Okay, so he was in the business.
Yeah, he was an actor for a long time. My mom was as well, and then they just like, things just slow down as the industry takes its toll on people. We moved out to Long Island.
Just kind of
grew up in suburban Long Island.
In
New York State, that especially where I'm from, Long Island, big wrestling community. Started wrestling when I was young. My dad was a wrestler in Florida.
How old were you? What grade?
When I started second grade.
Oh, you started young.
Dude, I wrestled my whole fucking life, dude.
Well, wait, what did you?
Dude, no, 45 pounds?
45, yeah.
I mean, dude, but our community, it was a bunch of dads who wrestled, and then a bunch of kids that like had the dad.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was almost like I didn't have a choice because I'm from Poway.
Yeah.
They're known for their
gnarly wrestling program.
So I started a little later in sixth grade.
Yeah.
And just in my homeroom class, they're like, Lee. We need you.
Because it's just because you're a small guy.
I'm small.
Dude, he's small.
We need a 65 pounder.
Yeah.
I go, what? Show up.
Sixth grade. Dude, I'm telling you, that's kind of old for kids now to start wrestling.
Really?
Dude, this kid in my college, I hate to jump around, but this kid I went to college with, the guy Demetrius Johnson, beast, a heavyweight. He was like ranked top 5 in the country.
Yeah.
Started wrestling in like ninth grade.
Jesus.
In Missouri, and never even, I placed once at the Missouri States, then went to JUCO school, and then transferred to D1.
Wow.
But yeah, we can get back to where I was.
Yeah.
So grew up in Long Island, started wrestling my school, Mattituck High School. We were a real powerhouse in Long Island. And a bunch of kids, we had like four kids in the state finals the year
did
I won. You,
how, okay, so how did your state tournament operate? Is it just one state tournament or sectionals?
So there's two divisions in New York. There's B1, D2. Not like California. Has that California always been one? That's one. So gnarly.
It's gnarly.
Super gnarly. That's why it's so cutthroat.
Super gnarly.
Think the Valencia brothers. Like those guys are like,
oh, dude. I mean, the St. John Bosco dude. Yeah, yeah. They're phenoms.
Super gnarly.
But there you go again. They started when they're little pipsqueak.
Well, dude, that's how it goes for anyone. Yeah. Like, if you want a kid to be good at something.
You gotta just.
But yeah, so wrestling started high school. Had my battles with it. You know, I had like real bad anxiety about wrestling. Wrestling was like torturing my life for a long time. Me too.
Did you have nervous haptics before matches?
Dude, I didn't have nervous I had like so much paranoia and fucking fear around wrestling that I based around. It was from a young, like sixth grade, I was seeing a fucking hypnotist to try to help my wrestling.
I'm glad you brought that up.
It's stressful fucking sport.
See these thumbs? They used to be huge calluses.
Because you'd pick at your thumbs?
No, I'd bite it and I would smell.
It's a gnarly thing.
Yeah, I would smell.
Just a nervous, weird tick.
Yeah, it was a
Dude, I would just like fucking. I had some moments out there like where I'd just fucking. You ever had it where you're wrestling? Just like, I feel like my head's in the clouds. And panicking.
It's almost kind
of. You start panic shooting. You just start wrestling an idiot.
It's tribal too, because it's like you don't realize that this is you're battling and you're. It's almost like, you know, some kid headbutts you and you wake. You know, you'll get like.
Dude, I can remember.
And you're like, oh. You know, like I'm super in this gnarly. Duel.
Yeah, I mean, so wrestling I had fucking for a long time. It was something that was like this weird relationship where I was like, dude, I'm literally not eating. I'm going to get ulcers in my stomach from how much this is stressing me out. Like panicking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you cut weight?
Not even really.
You okay?
Not much. So, I was a big boy. I wrestled 195 in high school. Yeah. Dude, want to listen to my transition? So I wrestled. So in New York, you can wrestle varsity as a seventh grader. If you pass a certification test, it's like a certain quarter mile.
So you could be a state champion, eighth grade state champion.
Dude, I think Yanni was in eighth grade. He didn't win in seventh grade. He took second in seventh grade, actually. And you know who he wrestled in the state finals?
No.
Vito Arujao.
From Cornell.
From Cornell, both of them.
That kid's got a funky style.
Yeah, he's
man.
A crazy
like
guy.
Even his stance is like, you notice his stance is
very,
like,
very,
very upright, very like.
Yeah, he's super crazy athlete, too.
Oh, dude, he's you know what, I just saw a match, it's crazy you brought him up. I saw a freestyle match with him and Jesse Delgado. He beat Jesse in freestyle.
Was Jesse Delgado an LA guy? Is he not LA
guy? He's from California. I forgot.
Gilroy, probably. All my buddies, so a bunch of kids,
they're a powerhouse too.
Powerhouse, they're like the powerhouse
Daniel
now because of DC.
Yeah, but he came in later, but they already had a legit program before that.
Yeah, no, but then that guy takes over, and then he brings all the guys that train at AKA to be assistant coaches there. So my buddy Nick Piccinini, he's from Oklahoma State.
Shout out to Nick Piccinini.
Yeah, shout out Nick Piccinini, dude. He's probably gonna see us. He's the homie. But Nick,
shout out to Nick. All American.
Yeah, beast.
Coached by John Smith.
Yeah, dude. Legendary.
Very good. He's got a good tilt, a wrist tilt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a good double. He's a tough guy.
But he's training at AKA now to fight.
You're friends with Nick Piccinini?
Dude, I love Nick Piccinini. We grew up together.
Oh, wow.
Dude, I know. You know Shakur Rashid? We all grew up.
Penn State.
Yeah. He used to
wrestle. I don't know why I know all this.
Is it weird? Who else have you talked about?
I don't know. But why? I'm a fan.
Big fan.
I'm a fan.
You follow MMA as well.
I'm a fan. But mostly wrestling. You told me about Beat the Streets, I got on Flow Wrestling and I'm like, where?
I got to watch
Yeah,
this
I got to watch it.
Gable is just untouchable.
Oh, yeah.
He's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's legendary status. But
dude, I wrestled with I had a taste of that because I wrestled Division I. So I won states in New York.
Oh, you won states?
Yeah.
Amen.
Thanks, Holmes.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, how did you get states?
I always choked.
Don't say that.
I always choked. I won San Diego section. Always choked at state.
Dude, well, the state tournament in LA is like a fucking.
It's gnarly. Back then, it was at Stockton. It was gnarly.
It was in LA?
Stockton, it's where the Diaz brothers are from.
Yeah.
And I just remember I would just psych myself out. I would be like, it's state. And then literally I would go out there and my mind, because you know, mental.
It's the fog.
It's mental,
it's
dude.
Like, the best way you describe it is like your head's in a fog and you're like, your brain's not firing right. Your arms aren't moving right. Like your reaction time's all fucked because you're just panicking.
Yeah. All the kids that placed, I beat. More than half, at the end,
there's
after the third day or second, third.
There was a kid on my college team that never placed in states, probably a four-time qualifier, and beat, probably 20 kids in his career that all were placed top three at states.
That's what I'm saying. It's all mental.
I mean, that's what I mean. You have a lot of fighters on the podcast as well, yeah?
Yeah, I've had a couple. I had Barnett, Josh, yeah, Barnett.
The fucking man. Yeah, it's
he
so tight.
He had a couple chokeholds there. Oh yeah, he's a big boy.
He's a big boy. Sure.
He's big. So let's go. So after you know,
so
high
state's
school,
in high school is a good career. You know, had those moments, like I said, like you just choked. You know, I've had some kids beat me out there. If you're watching this, I still don't
That's
forget.
That's fine.
It still bothers me, man. I have nightmares. My dad still has nightmares.
It actually haunted me because the kid, there's this kid from Rosemead, Michael Calamaro. He was a phenom.
Yeah.
4-time state placer from L.A. school.
Okay.
But I went to Arizona State. I gave up. I ended up drinking beer, you know, doing the college thing.
I know a bunch
of
kids went to Arizona State to try to wrestle.
He ended up being their 18-pounder, 118. He ended up...
He went to your school?
Yeah, I saw him on campus.
You guys squashed the beef?
No. Well, he was just... I'm like, what? Oh, you... He's like, I wrestle here. I'm like, oh... And
your life's so much more fun. Trust me, when you see people at school while you're wrestling on the team, like waking up at 6 a.m., going to practice.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a whole different lifestyle.
Dude, no, number one, it's fucking torture. Number two, all you do is think about the guys like you that used to wrestle and that are just hanging out and like come to the meets and like cheer you on, but they don't have to go lift at 6 a.m.
and
practice at 3.
Run.
It's like, dude, it's a special breed to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I wasn't one of them, safe to say.
But you went to college, though, and...
Yeah, I got a
scholarship on scholarship.
Like they got me in-state tuition.
Dude, but for wrestling though.
For wrestling.
Yeah, okay. They were scouting you.
Yeah. They scouted me.
Yeah, they scouted you. Probably earlier than you thought.
Dude, I mean,
I know you got letters when you're a sophomore.
I got letters from I was getting a lot of letters from placing in junior nationals at Virginia Beach.
Okay, let's get in it. So you wrestle freestyle Greco-Roman as well?
No, that was a folk style tournament.
Oh, folk style.
No freestyle for me at all.
Okay. My coach forced us.
I'm like, I can't do it. I'm no good.
it's so hard. Yeah.
I just like don't. That's not my wrestling style.
Yeah. I mean, you could be in on a kid and he just does it weird.
Dude, I don't like that. Honestly, I was talking to my buddy. Shout out Tyler Welps, D1, national finalist.
Wow.
He's my buddy's.
What school?
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
He was a national finalist and a 2-time All-American. And Tyler comes out here to LA a lot and comes and hangs out.
Yeah.
And
we got to shout out Mickey Phillippe.
Dude, shout out everybody.
He was so close. You're going to place this year. This is the year.
133s.
This is the year.
Well, do you see Roman Bravo Young's moving up to 41?
Is he really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he tweeted it. Actually, I don't know. I don't really know you, Roman, but I know your friends.
He's good. The kid's good. I mean, that was a close match. Mickey could have got him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a couple of close calls. I saw that match.
It was a good match.
That was a blood round.
It was a really good match. The blood round's always the best round.
Yeah.
You ever been to NCAAs?
No, like I said, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I watch on the internet. I try to follow the schools. Mm-hmm. I make predictions in my mind. It's a game for me.
But would you ever want to go watch it live?
Yeah. Me and my old high school mate. Well, that's one of our we want to go 1 year.
I want to go too.
We want to go.
We should link up.
Yeah.
We should make it a thing.
I want to see.
Go out there and then do like a live.
I like seeing. I like. I love.
Dude, I love it.
I love the upsets too.
Dude, I'm only like 2 years out of competing.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
Dude, I was talking about this the other day. So we were at a dinner party, and they were like, we were passing around these cards, and there were all these questions, and they were like, the question was like, what's the hardest part about growing old? And I'm fucking 21, dude.
That's really.
So what's the hardest part about getting older, which is relative to anyone, so the question still makes sense. And I was like, dude, I was thinking about the good. It's like trying not to get wrapped up in like living in the past and like thinking about the good old days, which like what the fuck, I'm 21 talking about the good old days. But I was talking about,
but
like,
it's different in,
dude,
the
when you're competing
world,
man,
it's different.
I think about all the I sometimes I'll like find myself in like having no music on the car, just sitting for 45 minutes when I'm driving out to Malibu, thinking about like matches that I should have won. And it's like, that's the hardest part about getting old, and especially not having like any redemption anymore, is like, that's what it's like as a competitor. It's gone.
You know, that's like my life, a part of my story too, just the regret. And I reflect,
there's a lot
on
of regret, dude.
This is the advice. If you're a kid, up and coming athlete, or whatever
any
you choose
sport,
to do,
dude.
Any sport. The main thing you have to focus on is fun. I stopped having fun.
Dude, for sure.
If I would have just had fun at the state tournament, I would have at least placed it.
You would have
top
won.
Top 8. Yeah. I would have at least placed top 6.
Steve, I think you would have won, man.
I was ranked second.
Were you seated?
Second.
That's close.
Yeah. I always drop the ball, man.
Dude,
I don't know what to say.
That hurt.
It hurt. I got into, you know, that's when I started drinking the beers, but... You know, that's the past. I'm sober now. I learned from it.
You think your wrestling career may have tricked you into like whatever, boozing too hard?
Like, no, it's because of my
lack of structure, perhaps.
No, the wrestling that taught me discipline.
I'm saying when that went away, when you went to college.
Oh yeah,
and like the lack of discipline. Cause dude,
yeah, I gave it all away. Cause I remember my coach. Shout out to Brandstetter. He was after the season my senior year. He goes, "So are you gonna plan on wrestling in college?" I go, "Nope."
Dude, there's a lot of kids.
I was just like, "I'm done."
Yeah,
but it somehow. In a weird way, it started haunting me because even when at Arizona State, they had this
what was
little
the program like that. Was it like a, because now they're fucking great.
Back then they were up and coming. They had a few kids, but not like they are now. Mm-hmm. You know, with who's their coach?
Zahid Valencia.
No, who's their coach?
He's an Olympian. Fucking.
It's God. Not Kendall Cross.
No.
It's the other guy.
Zeke Jones. Zeke Jones.
It was before Zeke. And
who
but
was
it was
before Zeke.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he was around back then as
dude,
an
no
assistant
way,
coach.
No way. He was like he was not wrestling back then, but Zeke Jones was definitely on. I think he was coaching the USA team at that point.
Yeah, but anyway, so I'm on campus just doing my thing, skateboarding around campus,
just chilling,
doing the normal college thing. I ended up bumping into the 105 freestyler Olympic dude that he practiced with the team, and he was looking for a workout guy, and I told him, "Hey, I used to wrestle." So I just ended up, I remember I didn't even have shoes. And I go, he was
going barefoot jiu-jitsu
style? But he looked like a man, you know, he was their 105 freestyle.
Was this like the Sunkissed Kids thing back
I
then?
I think so. So you know.
Okay.
So I ended up, you know, I took him down a few times. But that went to show me, it goes show me like, I'm smoking cigarettes, I'm smoking Newports. I'm like out of shape, and I took him down a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, he ended up taking me down.
Dude, eventually, the thing is like with those, like right when I got to college, I wrestled with this guy, with my head coach, Keith Gavin.
Yeah.
Who's
a world team member. Yeah.
NCAA champion. And I was like, first minute, I was like, he wasn't like getting on my legs. I got on his legs a bunch of times. And then just the pace those people put on you after a while.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
Oh, dude, it'll beat you into the fucking ground.
But your technique was still there.
Yeah.
You said you got to his legs.
Dude, no, I was good, man. I wrestled, after high school, I went to the University of Pittsburgh, got recruited there by Drew Headley, and then they got a whole new coaching staff because there's a crazy fucking scandal there.
I wonder if
I could talk about this. Actually,
Think about it
for my boys?
Yeah.
You know what? It doesn't matter. I'm free.
Oh, okay.
I'm free of it.
Okay, so.
No, yeah, there's this fucking crazy thing where there's this whole, oh, man, that's actually kind of funny to talk about. But these kids went on a fucking, they were at, I think maybe it was the Southern Scuffle.
It's a big tournament.
Big tournament.
It?
All these fucking kids
is
go
that
back.
A preseason tournament.
No. It's a college mid-season powerhouse tournament, Midlands and the Southern Scuffle.
Gotcha.
And now Cliff King.
It was before Midlands, though.
Yes.
Midlands
yeah.
towards the end. Kinda,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had this fucking these kids at Pitt at this time where the culture was so different than it is now. It was a fucking party animal school.
Pitt was?
Dude, the team was just fucking insane.
Did you all live together at the dorms?
Yeah, lived together in the dorms and all moved in the house together. Dude, the Pitt fucking culture then was just a bunch of hard-nosed yinzers, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
and they just
yeah.
fucking partied crazy. And the season would come around and
you guys would drink beers
it didn't
and
really
stuff?
Change much.
Oh.
I wasn't on the team at this point, but this was the year before. This is the year I was getting recruited. These kids all went to fucking the Southern Scuffle or something. And long story short, dude, they fucking go back to the hotel. They all lose because they're not really training hard anymore. They order a bunch of hookers to the fucking hotel. This is a high school team with like coaches in the other room.
This is crazy.
Dude, ordering hookers to the room. Hookers come, decide they don't want the hookers, decide to not pay the hookers. Hookers go fucking berserk, start throwing fucking chandeliers at people, throwing things at everybody. And
during their season,
dude,
huh?
In the middle of the season.
Wow.
And
that's crazy,
dude. Crazy.
Yeah.
And there was a fucking and like this. Oh my god, it was fucking gnarly.
Yeah.
And just throwing and like throwing lamps were broken all around the thing. Crazy fights broke out.
I'm sure there's news stories like were there.
Dude, it was just like it was. And then a week later, the head coach gets fired.
Of course.
And then I'm getting recruited my senior year to a team with no head coach.
As heavyweight.
No, I think they wanted me to be a heavyweight.
Yeah,
they saw my
yeah,
frame.
Yeah,
they thought
yeah.
I could get up to like two, like a Kyle Snyder character.
Yeah.
Like a 220 pounder.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm not as good as him.
Oh, he's pretty damn good.
Yeah,
pretty damn good.
But yeah, so that happened. And dude, and then Keith Gavin comes in and then he hires Coach Jordan Lean. And these two come in. They completely turn the whole program around. And now it's just a bunch of hard-nosed guys. And then we have Nino Bonacorsi, Mickey Phillippe,
yeah.
Cole Matthews. There's a ton of real tough kids on
yeah,
that team now
yeah.
that are all like, The culture's totally, but before, dude, these kids would be fucking going crazy doing drugs. Drug tests weren't happening.
Right, right. People section is Pitt? Are you guys Big ACC. Ten? Oh, ACC. Okay, ACC.
But maybe it was the, I don't know what it was before. It was with Lehigh before. I don't remember what that section was called. But yeah, dude, you wouldn't believe the fucking shit that you see these, like, high level, like, I could tell you stories when we're not listening. But, like, dude, some of these fucking guys that you're like, oh, they must be training like crazy. Are getting blacked out the weekend before NCAAs.
And they're still placing?
They're winning.
Get the hell, really?
I swear to God.
They're winning?
They're winning. And they're winning multiple times.
So you're telling
me... Dude, I want to tell you somebody I'm talking about. I can't call you out.
Just censor yourself for now.
I am. No, I censor. Yeah, but no, all I'm saying
so
is
you're
these
saying
guys are winning.
You don't have to say any names, but this intrigues me.
How cool is that?
Because me looking as a fan... I'm thinking these guys are not drinking beers.
They're not drinking beers. They're especially not.
And they're running. I'm thinking they're running every morning. But you're telling me these guys are getting blackout drunk and still winning.
This kid's getting blackout drunk 5 days before NCAAs, missing practices.
Missing practices. Before the national tournament.
There's times, in the middle of the season where they won't wrestle because they don't feel like making weight.
But don't you have qualifiers you have to do?
You have to make enough matches. But some matches, and like, this is a. We're not going to get into this.
Okay, yeah, okay.
But these guys, not on my team, this isn't Pittsburgh I'm talking about. Yeah. These are kids that I know of other schools. And I have a bunch of friends who wrestle a bunch of... Dude, these guys are crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
And they're just like... But that's some of those people. It's like a John Jones character. They just turn it on when the lights come on.
They're just gifted that way.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And there's something, like they said, I listened to Rogan talk about this. He was talking about how like... There's something to be said about those loose cannon people that don't try to hone them in. Let them be the loose cannons they are, because that's what when they get on the mat or in the ring or in the octagon, that's what turns them to be fucking animals, dude. It's that loose cannon.
My coach used to talk. It's showtime.
Showtime.
And for a theatrical actor, it's when the curtains are put to the side and it's showtime.
And there's people who won't read the plays, won't do the work, and can show up and just be present
and
do it.
And just do it. That fascinates me.
Fascinates me too.
That fascinates me.
Yeah, dude. I guess. I was a mixture of one of those characters. Because there's times in my life where I wasn't, training my hardest, but also winning a lot. But when college comes around, dude, the separation starts to separate real quick about like, dude, oh my God. You wrestle some of these kids in practice. You've never been, we had this one day in practice. This is going to be fun for you to hear.
Yeah.
One day where instead of live, usually we do like three matches. Which is a lot. Live. Like 21 minutes of wrestling.
Guys around your weight.
Yeah. You wrestle with guys around your weight. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wrestle like, I was weighing probably 2 times wrestling, 85 pounders, 95 pounders. 82, 84, 95, 97, and
So it's 3 minutes. You just go at it. On
dude,
your
no,
feet,
three
just...
matches. We wrestle.
Oh, you
full,
do three.
Three
two,
full
two,
matches.
Two. Okay, yeah.
Well, 3-2-2 because of college. Three-minute first period in college.
I thought it was 2-2-2.
No.
Oh, it's 3-2.
And that's a big adjustment as well. three-minute first period?
That's
oh
a long
God.
Period.
I remember getting taken down and like getting doing riding time. I got ridden and won a match when the guy had 5 minutes of riding time on me.
How?
Third period.
Oh, you took him down.
Third period, took him down, caught him, took him down, caught him. And then took him down in overtime.
Yeah, a better gas take.
Dude, maybe. Maybe he wasn't very good on his feet and he got lucky with the first takedown. Right. He just put a leg in and just started ripping my hip out.
Yeah.
But dude, you're gonna love this story. So in college, this one day, we're all like fucking. I think it may be postseason, and instead of live, which is normal, we usually have a pretty well structured practice. We just go to practice. It's the same thing every day, and that's just what it is. One day he's like, "All right, we're gonna do a match of first to 50 points."
What?
So you're wrestling everybody around the room, and they say, and he called the blows whistle.
What different weights?
No, you're wrestling everybody around your way. There's a bunch
around
of guys.
Your
it's probably 30
right,
guys.
Right,
it's 30-guy
right.
roster.
Okay. Geez.
And you have to, as soon as you score 30 points, you can be on everybody else. You switch every probably 5 minutes. You get to be done. And the studs on the team are done in 10 minutes because they just beat the shit out of some scrubs that are like the walk-ons.
Oh,
and they're off. And then there's someone like me and a couple of my other guys where we're there fucking 25 minutes after everybody's done practicing. There's one kid on our team where he had a bad day. Oh, man. I hope he was just like not wrestling well.
Yeah.
And he probably scored 5 points in like 2.5 hours. He's just like, you'd be wrestling and you'd be like, get a call tie and his ear would be next to you. Just like, just take me down, man. And I'll just let you be. He put himself as a martyr. He was a martyr. He died for our sins. He let us score like 20 points on him.
He would just give up?
Oh, dude. He was just at this point. It was a bad practice for him. Yeah. And he was just sitting there. He was like in your ear. He'd be like, you just feel like it's almost like, I actually heard Thomas Gilman say this about like when you hear like a dead, like it's like he's a psycho guy, but he was talking about like when he was hunting, he's like, he heard that noise in someone, like the last breath of a deer, like, he felt that in someone when he was wrestling them. And I felt this guy that day is just like, ugh. And he just like would let you turn him all over the
so
mat.
He was there forever.
Dude, they don't let you leave.
Oh, you're just there?
You're there until you score 50 points.
There's no exceptions.
Dude, you're there until so you no may have class later.
There's no time involved. Dude,
it's
it could be 5 in the morning.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. It's like it's to 50 points.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then we did one 30-minute match, and that was crazy too.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well, college is a whole different type of wrestling, wouldn't you say, from high school?
It's so different.
Just the riding and the
riding time, the hand fighting, the everything. Dude, I got the shit beat out of me. I was not cut out for it. But I went, and I'm happy I did it.
Yeah. So how long were you at Pitt doing this?
A year and a half. And then I dropped out to act because fuck that. It was so hard. But dude, then, you know, hindsight, I'm like, I think about it a lot. And I'm a big fan. And I'm a big supporter of my program. But like, you know, I think about like, what if?
Yeah.
But dude, I got this shit.
You're doing well right now. I mean.
Yeah, man. I got some shit going on, which is tight.
Yeah, let's get into that. So you like, when did you, so you finished at Pitt. Then
so I actually in like high school developed like a pretty big social media following.
I could see that. I just saw your followers.
I know, dude. It's
400,000.
Yeah, 400,000 or something like that. Yeah, it is a lot. But it's like, dude, I got in like kind of, I don't want to be ever like self-deprecating too much, but it wasn't something I was like working towards. It was like kind of like in the beginning of Instagram, like the algorithm.
Yeah,
was, like,
I don't understand it.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But it was like early on, like I went wakeboarding with this guy who was a photographer. He posted a picture of me. I gained like 1,000 followers in 1 minute. And he had like 50,000 because he was a photographer.
Oh, wow.
And then I started gaining followers, and I just started fucking snowballing from there. And then I got kind of thrusted in like 10th grade to go into like these influencer things and being an influencer.
Let's talk about like, that. How does that even work?
Bizarre, dude. You wouldn't believe these fucking guys.
So they pay these kids just, hey, can I go show up to this thing?
Dude, go up to this meet and greet and then sign pictures.
And they pay you for that?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Dude, it was weird. It was something that I...
Wait, would these companies contact you?
Companies would contact me. Tours... Where these kids would just go and not like go on stage. And dude, it was so fucking embarrassing. In hindsight, it was a good way to make some dough in high school because and like, dude, young high school, like ninth grade, and I just had people thrusting me into like, you're an influencer now, go do this. But I'm like, dude, I gained all these followers, but just I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, you don't know.
And it wasn't like I was ever
that wasn't your intent.
I wasn't grinding on like Vine.
No,
you know, I wasn't on Vine like
making videos.
No, dude,
choreographing
dance
videos.
It just fell into my lap.
It just happened.
I just wanted to wrestle, to be honest.
And it just happened.
It just happened.
So you met this photographer guy, got that, met
He started, and then he was like, we need to cultivate this, dude. And then he just started to be like.
So you became your manager kind of,
A
little
for
bit?
For sure, became my
your
manager.
Your social media kind of guy?
Social media, I guess it would be a manager type. But so that happened, and then that started steamrolling into like fucking more and more, and then I got thrust into this like category of being an influencer where I was like, what the fuck's going on?
What does that even mean?
And I meet these guys who like have this like, sense of that they have this like real thing, like they think that this is like a gift that they have you know what I mean,
and you come from a world where you have to earn every point.
Dude, I was fucking wrestling,
you know,
at
what I'm saying,
dude,
to earn
I
every
moved
point.
Out to LA in
10th
in 9th and 11th grade, actually, junior year, for the first quarter of high, so in New York we had four quarters, first quarter of high school. Of my junior year, I moved out to LA to like be to start acting like
there
full-time, and then I left LA and went back to wrestle again.
You missed it.
Dude, no, I had to.
You just had
to. My life would have been, I would have had so much regret if I didn't do that.
Yeah.
But dude, thrust into this influencer thing.
Influencer thing that you didn't plan on doing.
Dude, it was just like, I was like such an oddball at these things. These kids are going on stage. And
how do they act towards you? We're like, hey man, so my name is Charlie.
Hey man, let's link and build.
Yeah,
you know?
And
it's like,
so I'm an influencer. This is my channel.
Yeah, this is my channel. And what we do is we try to create a brand. Everyone talks about
branding.
They're branding themselves. And I'm branding myself as the emo punk, yet relationship talks, you know, it's like that's the first shit that you'd hear.
It's such a weird world,
dude. There'd be these tours where kids would go on stage.
Wait, there's
tours.
There's
I went
tour.
On tour.
There's influencer.
I got one
tours.
Of like two stops where you sit at a desk and you sign papers like you're an ex WWE wrestler.
You know what? I didn't think this world existed, but I was at Target and there's a couple girls with the fancy camera. I didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
And I asked, hey, what kind of camera is that?
You do vlogs, don't you, right?
Yeah, but this, I ended up being her name's Emma Chamberlain.
Oh, she's humongous,
right? Know.
She's
I didn't
like
know.
A superstar,
I know,
dude.
But check this out. So I'm just chilling here playing video games.
Playing Warzone?
I start getting DMs. Hey, you're on so-and-so's vlog.
Who's Whose vlog was that?
Emma Chamberlain.
Oh, you were on.
I was in Target.
Like, look at this guy. Was she like?
No, no. It was my voice. I have a distinct voice.
Oh, yeah, you
voice.
Do have a distinct voice, yeah. For sure.
So they're like, we knew it was you. Is that so you? That's so fucking funny. And I go, yeah, I was at Target today. Or, yeah, you're in her so-and-so's vlog, man. You made it. God. And I'm like, who is? And I looked her up, like, what millions of followers.
How many subscribers do you have? Like 20 million?
Millions. Millions. Millions, dude.
I'm not like a follower of YouTubers. Not for any diss, but just as
But that's what opened my eyes to this world of, oh, she's like more popular.
Was she doing makeup? Did she do makeup?
I don't know, dude. I don't know how that works.
I can't keep up.
They'll pay her just to eat a hamburger. Hey, film
just
it.
Shit like that, yeah. Was like happening for me on a much smaller scale. And I always wanted to act. My dad was an actor, and I was trying to take acting seriously back then. And like, I always like, and I kind of, I don't want to say rebranded because the whole sense of branding is so fucking lame.
But I
like,
just don't understand that word. I don't even know what it means.
Like, what's my brand? Dude, I'm just like posting goofy shit.
If you have like a clothing line, I understand that. Yeah. That's your brand.
Dude, people build their, like, yeah, dude, I don't.
But branding yourself, like I'm a brand. I'm branding, like what?
What's your brand, Steve?
I have that. That's a, maybe I
what
could
would you
learn.
Say? What's the Stevie Weeby Show's brand?
It's maybe a subculture of just interesting people that I want to interview, whether it's a fellow wrestler, musician, rapper, skateboarder. It doesn't matter. Yeah, for recreation.
Oh,
for recreation.
Getting around?
Yeah, getting around, you know, doing a little shove a tune, you know, just fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's a great question. Maybe I need to learn. No, I need to learn.
Dude, fuck that shit. I don't know. I just personally.
Do I need to go to a convention?
Let's say I'll do a TED Talk. I'll do a TED Talk. Hi, I'm Tanner's friend. Yeah. Hi, Steve.
Yeah. Well, how do I enter into this branding world?
Dude, I don't know. Honestly, what I'm saying is that
I'm
the oddball. Like the way you.
No, I'm trying to learn from you though, because you're you somehow.
Go look at my Instagram. It's not very branded, man.
You're doing something right. You
Hopefully,
are.
I just try to be. This is gonna sound so fucking clear. I just want to be myself. You know, like that. That's
I mean,
like,
yeah, but you learn. You kind of. It's kind of like fake it till you make it.
Certainly,
that applies to this and branding and you. You're like, I don't. I'm just gonna.
Well, I've just gone a totally different direction than it was kind of set out for me in that sense. Like people pushed me to be like the influencer and started making YouTube videos, and I tried for a little bit and I hated it. And I tried to hang out with these fucking young Hollywood kids and I hated it. And I just fucking.
What did you not like about it,
dude? Probably.
Just the lingo.
I don't like the word lit. I can't hear the word lit.
I hate it. I freaking hate that word lit. So much. Lit. What do you? What a candle? What are you? A candle?
What are you
lit?
Fucking candle? Dude?
Yeah, you're a candle.
Are you
a fucking
candle?
What's lit about this?
Nothing.
I don't understand.
I don't get it. I feel like, but then like, yeah, dude, like these Hollywood kids out here, dude. It's just like you're so. Jaden, you're always talking about your follower count. You're always talking. Yeah. Dude, I've heard people like actually be like, "Well, my friend Phil wants to come over. How many followers Phil got?
Who cares,
dude? I know
what.
That's
what does that matter?
That's just the shit I heard when I was like 17.
Wow,
and
dude,
a lot of people like being like, getting you see like influencers start fighting when they're drunk and start and then the big thing they would say.
What
to
would
each other,
they fight about? They're getting paid doing nothing.
No, they would fight with each other about like you bitch and whatever. And then you see the big thing they'd be like, you're fucking irrelevant. That's like calling like the C word. Like he's calling an influencer irrelevant is like, dude, you wouldn't believe the fucking meltdown.
You know what? When I think of that talk, that's like privilege, spoiled talk.
Oh, dude. And tying back to wrestling.
And you're from the East Coast. I mean, that's a whole different mentality out there too.
Dude, no way.
You know what I'm saying?
I had my homies back. Like I always checked myself because I always had people be like, fucking lame. Like, you know, I had my buddies back home. They would rip me.
Wow.
But long story short, got thrust into kind of that influencer thing that wasn't really my jam, to say the least. No. And I kind of went counterculture and didn't. And I could have post high school. I was like, the plan was, all right, Tanner's going to go to LA and start acting full time.
Good.
I completely just stopped posting on Instagram, just went to Pittsburgh and started wrestling. And I just literally, I was like, fuck that. And I just threw it all away. My mom was like crying because my mom was like thinking,
what
like,
are you doing?
You're going to be a star.
Because of these, because of today's world and social media.
She saw what I had. She saw like the draw that was coming to me. And she's like, no. And my dad, obviously being the dad, he's like, I think Tanner could be an NCAA champ. And they're so conflicting. But like my mom was like, dude, there was a fucking, it was a polarizing decision to say the least for me to
can't you influence out How do you even define influence? What does it even mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Can't you influence on the East Coast and Pitt?
What does it mean to influence? No, but literally, the thing is about doing branded paid posts would be like the thing that's like the shit.
Well, I don't even know. What you just said was alien language. What does that even mean?
Like fucking
branding?
So like ClearSail recently hit me up to pay me blank amount of money to post something for them.
ClearSail.
So the
so what was the deal? I mean, you don't have to disclose that. We don't have to talk figures. They offered you a deal.
They offer you money and they're like, hey, post this. It's like advertisement.
But on your Instagram.
Through your
personal account.
Through your brand.
Okay, no. My next question is, can you script it yourself or do you have their script
to
read?
They probably hit you with like some things they want you to say about the product and whatnot. Dude, it's real commercialized.
I
can't
hate you. I mean, it's money, man.
Dude, I mean, trust me, I've
that could pay some bills there.
You know? I'm just as much probably on the same wavelength as you, Steve, and the fact that like I find it cringy and lame.
Yeah.
But that's why I fucking took that. I just went to Pittsburgh and went to fucking. Not only did I go to a city, like I went to fucking hardcore like red Pittsburgh. Like Pittsburgh's a fucking hardcore city, dude. And those guys get
how
that.
How do you define that? What's the difference between red? Like how?
Red and blue.
Oh, red and blue. Conservative. Red and blue. Oh, conservative. Okay.
Very conservative.
Political. It's
yeah. Honky tonk. Yeah.
So
Republican. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're,
if you will,
conservative, yeah, red,
to say the least.
And it's a wrestling community.
Wrestling, like hard nose, blue collar. Hardcore. And I come in there with all these followers, dude. Safe to say that team didn't accept me very, very quickly.
They looked at you differently because of your social media status?
Dude, they would like not invite me over to parties that the whole team was at.
So it had a conflicting effect.
Oh, dude, they're like, this guy's a fucking
You're one of those.
Yes.
So how did you kill that stereotype?
Wrestle hard, I guess. And also, wrestle hard. But, dude, it was also, I'm going to be honest, it's probably a lot of the reason why, I mean, leaving Pitt wasn't because I was like, I want to act full time. I'm done wrestling. A lot of it is, I just felt like I was a sore thumb. I stuck out like a sore thumb.
Wow.
And it's so weird because
that's a big part of wrestling is the acceptance and the
community, the team, the camaraderie.
Yeah, camaraderie, the teamwork.
But dude, I have some great friends there and I love those guys. Man. But in the beginning, dude, it was definitely like, who the fuck's this guy thinking who he is fucking?
They thought you're a Cali, like just, who's
dude,
this
and then
Cali
I come out to
boy?
Cali and I'm the fucking guy. They pretend like I'm their security guard when I'm walking out. I remember these kids, all these influencer kids would be like, this is Tanner, our security guard. I'm like, I don't really know if I like being called that.
No.
It was, dude,
it was just as many followers, except you, except.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
guy.
Dude, that wasn't even a thing that I marked as worth at all.
Yeah.
And I just got
yeah.
put out here because people told me to.
That's so crazy.
You know, I just kind of.
We're in such a weird time.
I was
right
just getting
now.
Pushed and pulled. But then I'm someone. I'm not turning too horn, but I just like completely just, I rejected it so much that I went I went to Pittsburgh and wrestled there for a year and a half. And then I decided to come back out here and I don't really do that. I just act full time now. And that's why I studied theater and which also, dude, imagine a bunch of wrestlers on your team be like, it's fucking theater, dude. You know what I mean?
There's some jokes in the locker room there.
There were some,
Now, if Cliff Keen wanted to sponsor you or like Asics or Nike,
dude,
you know what I'm saying?
That
would be dope because it's like wrestling.
I always try to find ways to like integrate myself back into like that.
So I don't know if they're going to be listening to this, but Cliff Keen, if you're out there, holler at my boy right
dude,
here.
I don't know when I'd wear headgear, but I'll put it on and take a picture.
You could do it on a post. Just wear it around your apartment or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So then you went from Pittsburgh back here, right?
So I went to Pittsburgh, studied theater, and I was a double major theater.
What school?
University of Pittsburgh.
Oh, theater there?
No.
Oh, so you did
theater program.
There. Oh.
Theater program at school. So I went to school like with this kind of, because I always wanted to act. I was doing theater, and my dad was taught an acting class out where we were from in Long Island, and I acted ever since I was young. And then I always had this, like, you know, that was always the career goal for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know when the inception happened, but I was always like, oh, I'm going to be an actor.
What kind of influence, what kind of films did you like really like?
Dude, I'm really
into
it.
What are you into? Like,
Goodfellas, Casino.
I just saw Irishman, by the way.
What do you think?
It was long.
It's long.
It was long. I had to take a break at like 2 hours in.
Yeah, I took a
break.
I
had to take a break. I ate a popsicle.
Yeah.
Drink a sparkling water.
Yeah.
Put in one of these. And,
what are these? Are these the?
Yeah, this is
like
snuff? Yeah, well, this is because of wrestling, I dipped for so many years.
I dipped for a long time as well.
For a long time.
Went to Pitt, picked up fucking dipping.
Yeah.
That was
so
a nasty habit.
Yeah, I just it's a part of the culture. Mm-hmm. You know how it happens.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's...
Hey, Lee.
Yeah.
Try that. You know, you're in the van.
Oh, okay.
I got some scold, man.
I hope they like me.
Got lightheaded. Hey, Lee.
Yeah.
Cutting weight in the sauna. Hey, Lee.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Dude, and honestly, it helps. I got addicted. Curbs your appetite.
I got addicted. It's
good. Yeah.
I got to a point.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
I stopped spinning. No, I got into that as well. I did it all. Mm-hmm. I did it all. But going back to, you have an interesting story because you did that, you wrestled, then you were part of this influencer community, then you kind of rejected that. Went into
honestly, I feel like I told that story pretty well.
But yeah, you did.
And then so I went to Pitt, was studying theater, taking some great theater classes there, and really started getting, like, really diving into acting. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the community at Pitt, they were my boys. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, they're my boys. And I think since I've left, our bond has only grown stronger. Because they were always telling me, because they're like, they don't really have any future besides wrestling. And wrestling, you know, where's the payoff? I'm going to go fight.
Tough. You could either coach, or assistant
fight,
coach.
Or fight.
Yeah. UFC.
Yeah.
MMA.
I'm down with that. I'm down with that.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to look into that?
No, dude. Okay, I mean, in a...
No, but you would be good because you already have kind of a jiu-jitsu background from your wrestling.
Yeah, dude. I heard the transitions.
Yeah.
Have you ever rolled jiu-jitsu at all?
No, my friend keeps...
That's weird that you haven't gotten into
it.
I think
you
would dig it.
You think so?
Dude, I wrestled like you, and I was a big fan of... I love wrestling. And I went to jiu-jitsu. Dude, these guys can't wrestle. I mean, it's weird in the guard. Guard play is weird, but I went to 10th Planet in Burbank.
Yeah, Eddie Bravo has been on here. Has he? Yeah, and then he's, you know, because...
Did he try to talk you into doing it?
No, I kind of, in passing, I asked him, hey, because he has a lot of schools around.
Tons of them.
Yeah,
right?
but you know, as a wrestler, we're trained not to be on our back.
It's bizarre.
You know, it's like,
but then
you have to flip that.
And then wrestle, dude, yeah, well, I found, it's such a more relaxed sport.
It is.
Like, you can chill. There's a lot of chilling in jiu-jitsu.
So you could just
a lot of guys getting stoned and going to jiu-jitsu. Nobody's getting stoned and going to wrestling practice. Besides one kid on my team that I can't.
Wait, so you could relax in a position. You could be in
There's a lot of chilling in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. And it's fucking, you get choked to sleep. And that's not cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But I honestly, to find like an outlet for my need to compete, kind of.
Yeah.
I started doing a little bit of jiu-jitsu, which I found to be.
How does a point system work in jiu-jitsu? Like, does it take down?
Clue. Takedowns count.
So
Ed Ruth went to a jiu-jitsu. My buddy Dom Forries, shout out Dom Forries, went to University of Pittsburgh, 3-time NCAA qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be watching for sure.
Who's the kid that beat Metcalf, that classic win? That kid.
Darren Caldwell?
Yeah, Caldwell. Where he pushed him.
Do you see the Metcalf
documentary? But he ended up being a great fighter.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, he's in Bellator.
He's a champ, for sure. But you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Darren Caldwell. That was the most Darian legendary Caldwell. Match. You remember seeing that match?
I watch it. Once every month.
Me too. I watch it all the time. He headlocks him in the first period. Oh my God, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Then Metcalf, and he was so mean and scary. And
he was like a bull.
Do you ever see, there's a documentary coming out about him, I think tomorrow.
About Metcalf? Yeah.
On Flow Wrestling.
He didn't quit. He wrestled freestyle.
He was on the world team. And now he's coaching.
Wrestling Jordan Oliver.
Yeah, they wrestled a bunch of matches. He's so fucking good.
Yeah.
He's older too.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It always goes. You know,
we always tie back.
We always go back.
I haven't had this camaraderie in LA in a long time talking about wrestling.
I'm a fan. Like I try to keep up with it.
Dude, I got it. Look, if you ever want to like talk with some wrestlers, I can link
friends
you
with Nick Piccinini.
He would love to come on the podcast, dude.
I'm a fan. I've watched all of his matches.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, him and Spencer.
Nicky,
he loves that shit, dude.
That was epic.
I literally just started getting chills thinking about that moment, dude. That was the craziest thing ever.
Their arena, right?
Dude,
at Gallagher.
She was crazy.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Did you see that match where who's that kid? He's from Siriano. Where did Siriano wrestle? Who's the one that
was? Ashnall.
Anthony Ashnall.
Versus the guy from Princeton?
No.
He shot him down. Yeah, that was crazy.
The kid from Oklahoma at the end of the match.
G-Feller.
G-Feller. Hayden or something. And he went like this to their bench.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That was disrespectful.
That
was mad disrespect.
And he pushed him.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and then that. Dude, yeah. Wrestling's the shit. Man.
I've rewinded
I'm glad
that.
You were. I didn't know you were into it.
Oh no!
I thought you were into it, but I didn't know you were really into it.
I'm a fan. Like even shout out to my man Rich Salo. I wrestled with him, and he ended up wrestling in Minnesota, Division II. But he's in Arizona now, I hadn't seen him since high school. And then I went to visit him after my dad passed. You know, just to check up on him, to see how he's been. And the whole time, guess what we were doing?
Talking about wrestling. Just chopping it up.
We were just on YouTube watching wrestling.
I love it. It's my favorite. It's like, I'm so upset. Like, I'm
obsessed.
Obsessed still. And dude, the thing is like, I got like a taste of, like, I've wrestled some kids that were really, really good. Sure, some NCAA champs.
Sure.
Wrestled with I'm gonna tell you after, actually. This is me to save it. Yeah. But dude, yeah, like I'm excited to tell you about some of the people in the party stories of these people that you like you wouldn't believe.
Okay, I just thought of a school in your section, NC State, the Wolfpack.
Yep.
They're in your division, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
NC State.
Yeah, NC State.
The Hidley brothers.
Yeah. They have some good some good kids in there.
Yeah, I got recruited at NC State.
You did too.
Yeah.
How come you didn't?
I just like Pittsburgh, dude. And also, I wasn't, dude. They were like half recruiting me. I was good enough to be recruited. I was like, I was probably floating around 20th ranked guy in the country at my weight.
Wow.
But dude, these guys, that's not awesome. I mean, it's awesome, but like I was.
But that's a big deal. I mean, you have to think of every high school in America, dude.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's
that's
weird
a...
to be out in Hollywood and like no one knows me for that. And now people are like seeing me for this movie and shit. Like people are like I'm like going like out for these auditions and like. There's just such a totally other life that I was like, that was just like consumed. It's like so funny because like you come out here and like this part of like my life that like I was like high level, but not the highest level, but like I was like, and now I'm like getting into Hollywood and like going to these rooms and seeing these people of like another high level. It's like I've been like in both. So it's just a different industries, not industries, but different cultures. So
yeah.
It's just so odd being like.
It's a different world.
And then you feel people like you like hear about like all these guys that.
Like the bald, one of the Baldwins always goes to the NCAA.
Steven?
Yeah, one of the Baldwins. Yeah, he's always
fan.
He's always at the tournament.
I want to connect with him, honestly.
Yeah. That guy's a fan.
Fan.
So you would be surprised.
Is your brother a fan?
My brother wrestled.
He did not. Actually, I think I did know that. Yeah. Someone told me that.
No, he could have wrestled varsity his senior year. Yeah, he could have wrestled varsity.
Was he a small guy like you?
Yeah, he was 125, but they're like, for your senior year, you're going to be 105. He went to rehab.
Oh, instead.
Didn't want to cut the...
I went to rehab instead.
So the way it worked in our culture at Poway, once you're done with wrestling, you're dead. You're dead to the coach. You're dead
to the school.
Yeah, you don't matter anymore. Like, yeah, you're a ghost.
Was that like a thing? Like people are getting laid because they're on the wrestling team and stuff like that. Was it like? Was there a culture?
Not for me. I was a little odd. I was a little odd.
Were you in the subculture? Were you like on the
fringe? Yeah, because I was going to church camp.
Oh. So were you raised like Catholic?
Yeah,
well,
Christian.
Christian.
Yeah, I was going to Hume Lay. I was going to all the church.
That's
yeah,
hilarious.
So I wasn't getting the girls.
You weren't getting laid.
No, not at all. Not. Zero.
You're telling me all those wins didn't you didn't feel a little bit?
I could have.
They didn't throw a little bit at you.
So because I won sectionals. I won San Diego section.
And especially at Poway, that's a fucking powerhouse school.
Yeah,
wrestling.
Yeah,
you were good.
Yeah, I was. But that was. It seemed like a whole lifetime ago, buddy. You know,
the funny thing about wrestling is it just fucking snaps you right back into it.
But you know what trips me out is back then we wrestled in this janky ass the gymnastics room, right? Now there's a whole facility.
Yeah.
There's a like high tech state of the art facility, and I'm like, well, we didn't have that.
Mm-mm.
They have, you know, it's a training facility, and I'm just like, wow.
These high school teams are getting a lot of funding from their school as well.
Not only that, they're like you said, you started in like younger
second
than me.
Grade.
Yeah, they have a whole program. It's called Slammers.
Oh, like kids
where
club.
They're recruiting second, third, first. You know, these little
dude,
guys.
Our team had 8 guys in the state tournament.
Really?
Out of 10 weights.
That's pretty damn impressive.
Dude, our team was ranked number one in New York at the time.
Well, can we shout them out real quick?
Shout out Mattituck High School. Shout out Corey Dolson, the fucking best coach ever.
Shout him out.
You
do you think he'll watch this?
I'll send it to him. He'll watch it, dude. He'd love it. But
yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
He's this guy took us from young kids who are dads who are coaching us in kid program, which is a big shout out.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, we had this fucking team of kids that, dude, you wouldn't believe it. Like it was like from when I started wrestling in 7th grade on varsity, the team was like placing 5th in the section for you, but it's called a county in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking 5th in the county, mm-hmm. which is bad, especially in Division II. Like,
so
we're really bad.
How does it work? You have to place top 6 there, then top...
You have to win.
What qualifies you for your state tournament?
In D2, and so I wrestled Division
II
in New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to win you have to win the county. You have to win.
You can't take second or third?
You can get a wild card potentially if you take second or third.
You have to win it.
But yeah, they give out a lot of wild cards. But yeah, you have to to get a real definite
slot.
You have to win.
That's a pressure, dude. That's a
dude,
lot.
Dude, I was panicking, and I was teching everybody, but I was still panicking.
Oh, you're teching.
I was so nervous. I was a fucking.
How long were you talking about wrestling on this episode? About 80% of the time.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't care.
People are gonna love it.
I love, and the thing is, just, you know, like, do you think that this
we'll have another episode where we talk about other shit.
Well, let's go back to, because I wanna plug the movies.
Dude, yeah. So I just did this Lifetime film.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Dude. It's called The Pool Boy Nightmare.
Where do people watch on Lifetime?
It's
right?
on Lifetime. I think it's airing still. It aired a couple like last week, but it's still airing.
What was the audition process like for that?
Dude, I've been auditioning a good
couple
bit.
Rounds of that.
Couple rounds. Mm-hmm. You know how it is.
Yeah. I did commercials.
Yeah.
I did the Sour Starburst.
Sour Starburst?
Yeah. I had four rounds of that.
Dude, four rounds of
Quinn. Just this the was, sour phase. This was... Yeah, yeah. I
Wait, one more time. There it is.
Yeah,
there
yeah,
is,
yeah. It's at a Chinese restaurant. Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, come look at the baby. Yeah.
Do this out.
I mean, 15, 20 grand on it.
How many?
15, 20 grand. Yeah, 15, 20 grand at the end of the day. Yeah.
I didn't make a tenth of that in all of a fucking movie, dude.
Sour Starburst. But just let's talk about the competition. And in the acting, there is a lot of competition.
Yeah, man,
I'm
taking acting really seriously now. Dude, I kind of put my work ethic from wrestling into acting now. So like,
you know what you could do? You could do mind games at those auditioning places. You should do mind games with them.
What's your recommendation?
Okay, so you have to, I know how it works. You go there, you sign in, right? You have to sign in, right?
Hands shaking.
Yeah, you just... Stephen Lee. Brent Miller?
Yeah.
I'm going to cross his name out.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. And then whisper something to his ear and go, you don't want this role. You don't want this part.
I don't want this shit.
You don't want it.
I hear these guys are a bunch of...
Or you go like this. You've been to the La Brea?
Yes.
South La Brea?
I've had some...
200?
I've had some... 20.
You've been there, right?
I've had some bad moments there.
You follow him into Petco. Or you follow him into
the
parking
lot. That's the one
upstairs. Yeah. Hold up. You follow the guy before. Let's say people do smoke cigarettes. Yeah. You follow a guy that you know, and you go, you're gonna have to fight for this role.
Yeah. And I don't mean go in there and act your ass off.
No, you're gonna meet me in the parking lot.
There's gonna be fisticuffs.
I'm just kidding. No, but there is mind games involved.
Dude,
you
I go out there. I've been working hard at acting the past year.
Good for you, man.
Come out, dude. I had to shot the short film. That awesome.
Good for you. Good for you, dude.
Me and my buddy co-wrote it.
What was that stress level like? How did you memorize those lines and how did you prep for that?
For
that Lifetime thing,
dude. It was kind of odd because it was my first ever real acting gig. I've done some commercials.
That's a big time.
I've done some like little short films, but this is my first time really acting, and I was the lead in the fucking movie.
You were the lead.
And it was a great, experience, and the movie came out well, I think, and
Yeah.
It's a Lifetime film, dude.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
So as each audition passed, do you notice new kids showing up? Like, oh, I got to beat this kid out now. Like at the end, it's you and this other kid.
I still feel the same way as I do when I'm standing on deck looking at someone.
That type of thing.
This guy's trying to take my fucking paycheck from my children.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But dude, it's definitely I just go in there and try to do my thing and be as present as possible. And I was lucky enough to be a part of this do this thing. And memorizing lines wasn't as hard as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Dude, when you're on set and you do a table read and you read the script a couple times, it was, and dude, these fucking Lifetime films, especially on these low budget,
that's a big deal.
You get
Lifetime.
You get two takes, dude.
Is that a big deal?
And
that works. Is
dude,
that a big deal?
You usually get, so you should talk to your brother about it.
He's probably got
40 takes for some things that.
Yeah.
That's
not a lot. You have to nail it.
Dude, there was a time, this was the most intense scene in the movie where this crazy fucking dancing scene where I'm with this woman, I'm screaming in her face, going crazy. Because I play a fucking killer psychopath in the movie. And she's like, the producer comes out, he's like, all right, we're shutting down at 10. It's 9:56. You better get this now. It's like the second take, and I fucked up my lines twice.
Oh, my goodness.
And like, all right, Tanner, this is you. If you don't get this, the movie's kaput.
So that's a lot of pressure because
then you just go to Tunnel Vision Wrestling mode.
Oh, man. So you have to zone out.
Zoned out, and hopefully, it's Lifetime films are what Lifetime films are. But, hopefully that there's some. This one feels a little bit more grounded.
Oh, dude, that's a big deal. I mean, how did your parents respond to this news of you booking
this
big thing?
Dude, they're super stoked. All my homies back home, all my buddies at Pitt, we all had like viewing parties and we're watching it. It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
All like fucking mocking me with these cheesy lines and shit. Like posting.
They loved it.
Oh, dude, just roasting me. But they loved it. They're supportive.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool. Like they see
that's a big deal, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was tight. Have you ever had any moments like that where people back home see you doing something? They're like, damn.
Well, I've only really done commercials.
But dude, they see you on live TV. They take a fucking picture of you and be like,
yeah, I did a taco.
Steve, I just saw you on.
Ooh, fajitas. You know, they'll do the fajitas line.
Yeah. Fajitas line. The token
Ooh,
fajitas.
Fajitas.
Yeah. Yeah. That was line?
Yeah.
Was it just like that?
Yeah, I had
was
to cross the street downtown LA.
Very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Probably made some fucking change on that one.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, it got to a point where I shouldn't have gave up, but okay, I'll be honest. I was only in the commercial game. I was up for a Verizon. what's the thing where it's more than one commercial? A campaign.
Oh,
it was a Christmas.
Steve.
It was a Christmas Carol campaign one. Up, you know, so I had like several commercials.
Yeah.
I made it to the last thing. This other kid, me and him at the end, in the room. You know how those rooms are. You're in
Cold.
The room. You have the producer, whatever,
yeah.
the director, whatever.
Yeah.
And they go, Steven, can you step aside and have someone, you know? So I was literally.
And how many rounds in was this?
This was five rounds. Like, this was the
when
very
five
last.
Rounds in, you're like, I'm getting this shit.
No, but this is what happened.
Where do you think you're going to get it?
No, this is what happened, though. In my mind, I knew I wasn't because the whole time, everything that
was
kid did,
Asian
they were
lap.
Yeah, it was another Asian kid. Same haircut.
No,
yeah, the same.
The
he looked like me.
No,
he looked
no.
like me.
Isn't it weird when
yeah,
you go
and then,
there?
And then
it's like you're strapped.
And they're like, Brian, good job, buddy. Hey, can you try doing it like this?
Yeah. And Steve, can you step up next, please?
Steve, back.
Yeah, Steve, four strides backwards. Yeah.
Steve, stay to the side.
Yeah.
We'll let you know.
Steven.
Brian.
Yeah, they start
you're
reprimanding
doing great,
you.
Brian, you do it this way. Sing it, you know. And at there was one moment when I knew, because I was in denial.
Yeah.
God, maybe if I get it one more shot, I think I could beat him out. I think I could do it, but they.
What were you just saying? For know, what was the line? Was it? You
I
remember?
Don't know. It was
Come
some
on,
Christmas
Steve.
Caroling, some singing and
yeah.
improvise. I don't know what it was. Dumb.
Yeah.
I didn't. He was actually doing a way better job than I.
So she says, the truth is you watch yourself getting like literally pushed to the side, the hood slowly coming on,
yeah.
and in your head
yeah,
you're like,
no.
he's doing better than me.
But just imagine my face turning red and just eyes crossed, like and I'm just panicking, oh. and there comes the moment where they go, Steven, you could actually wait outside the room.
They push you. They're like, can you just step back a little more?
Yeah.
Look back. Actually, just right through that fucking
so,
door right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so now I'm hearing the laughter outside.
No, it's so it's permanent. It's
and
going
I'm
just...
sweating, and I'm like trying to, you know, I'm and then I was still not accepting of it. I'm like,
I'm still going to get this? Oh, no, Steve, the false confidence. Boy, have I been there. Dude.
And they didn't even tell me to. I had to just figure it out on my own.
You're just like
the guy was in there for so long. I just ended up just standing there. You know where?
Oh my god!
Like the next group of kids.
Just ended up just getting up and going.
Else. The next group of kids were lined up, and I'm still there, just smiling.
They never even brought you in.
No,
Steve.
I had to. I just had to just
imagine being that. But imagine being that guy. How good it felt to like not even see your competition. You didn't get a chance, yeah. Dude. Steve,
no,
you just had to slowly
be
like realize as like all the white like it was like. There's no more Asian kids
oh,
here anymore.
No,
it's
no.
like the, now it's
no,
like the different audition.
Different,
just like,
this one's for Toyota. This is a whole
like,
different. This is a
passenger.
Whole different commercial that these other kids are for. But the painful thing was they aired the crap out of it.
He probably made so
he
much
made
money.
He made bank.
Dude.
He made bank.
But now they don't do that with commercials anymore.
I know,
buyouts.
But back then he made bank. I know he did.
You know he
I
did.
Know he made
He's
like $50,000.
Dude.
It was a campaign, dude.
That's big money.
They played it all the freaking time where they knock, hey, and then he's wearing a red Christmas
yeah.
sweater doing the
yeah.
jingle.
You ever
just,
think about getting back into commercials?
No, I mean, that was the last straw. I mean, I booked
that
it.
One
I,
that,
that
one hurt.
Hurt.
Too
that, one, that one hurt.
That
was personal. That was personal.
The shit
that
on
was
podcasting,
personal.
Man.
It got to a point. Oh, I
that
know.
That was personal.
It got to a point where I'm like, fuck. I put too much investment in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, this goes to show. You can't live in the expectations. You got to do it and leave and then stay out of it, right?
Dude, that's what I tried to do. But
you know what
I'm
saying?
This,
same thing with wrestling in
it's
life.
Like thing. Dude, when you lose, let that shit go. And it's always like you got to be real focused, very present. And when it's gone, it's gone. And pretend like you're on just the
it's
next
done.
Thing.
It's done.
Dude, but that's so much harder. Easier said than done, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had this. Do we have time? Are we,
yeah, yeah,
are we
yeah.
Running?
We got a couple more stories.
Okay.
We can do. Yeah.
I
The hour flew by. I mean, that flew by.
Dude, wrestling talk just gets us going. What am I talking about? I we got to get together when
shout
when wrestling comes
back. Shout out
to Nick
Piccinini
again.
Shout out
Nick Piccinini.
Shout out to Mickey
Dude, Nick's going to love that. You know Nick's – now he's going full-time fighting down at AKA. He's
good
training at AKA, yeah. And
he's
now he trains at Gilroy.
He's got a good base.
Dude,
he's got
a love,
good base.
He would love to come
he
be
would
here.
Do it.
He would 100% come on the podcast.
I'd wear the Okie stand. I'm a fan of John Smith.
Dude, he would.
I'm a fan.
He could tell you some crazy stories about John Smith. I heard a story from John. I had this little story about John Smith.
Imagine that guy being your coach. John Smith being your damn coach.
Dude, I heard this story so about. Good. You want to hear a story about John Smith that I heard?
It's not his low single leg.
That's an infamous story.
His low single.
That's not even a story. That's a tale.
Well, his low single. As old as time.
The best. He invented it.
I know.
Yeah. You use a low single?
So we learned it from him.
Yeah.
Because during high school, we did a tournament.
The forearm on the mat, the head.
Yeah,
the
we
knee.
Did a tournament, and we were there the night before at their campus.
Mm-hmm.
It was some kind of national, dual tournament.
Oh, at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, it was a dark, and then we're like, no one's here. We had to weigh in. We want to check our weight. And we were let in, and he was there drilling with
He still wrestles, dude.
He was drilling. John Smith was drilling with his brother.
What's his name? Pat Smith.
Yeah, I don't know, but they were there in a dark wrestling room, and my coach, he was about to bust a nut. He was just like, oh my god,
John Smith.
Yeah, I hear that.
I've had some moments like that, but I heard this story about John Smith. So this other story about someone getting on the scale, and when someone's not on weight, and you step on the scale, John Smith just fucking bink, just knocks your block off. If you step on the scale. Dude, you step on scale and you're like 5 pounds overweight the day before weigh-ins, and you just did something real immature. Dude, he smacks the shit. This is old. Dude, he's a good old boy. He's an Oklahoma man. Dude, he'll fucking smack the shit out of you. And I've never met him firsthand.
That's a lineage of toughness right there.
That's a bad man. Dude, a family. His brother was a 4-time national champ, Pat Smith.
That's a family. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean,
and then his nephew is on the team.
His son wrestled.
That's his son's on the team. Yeah, son.
Pat.
Is that
Pat Smith? Right.
Yeah, I think so. He's on the team.
Was this Pat?
Let's just call him Pat for now.
Okay. It was his son, Russell. Yeah.
Where were we before? We were talking about auditions, weren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I have an audition story with my fucking brother. So I moved out here. I was doing that influencer thing when I was like 15, 16.
Yeah.
And I had some auditions. I wasn't really taking acting seriously. I was just kind of just floating, you know, being a 16-year-old, dude. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I was just surfing a lot, just hanging out.
Yeah, kids
trying to get babes. And I go to this audition for the show, and they I got the sides fucking the day before, and I couldn't get off page to save my life. And I got in there, and they're like, all right, Tanner, listen here, you are the guy. They sent me down we wrote this role, we made the show literally because we saw you, and we were like, this guy is perfect. I go in there, I literally am looking at it like fucking I can't believe you did that to Cindy, stuttering. Yeah. And my brother was my ride at the point, because he was like kind of helping me around, giving me rides around to do my shit, because he was living out here too. And he gives me a ride. And me and my brother have this very tumultuous relationship where we get fucking.
Is he older?
Yeah, he's 5 years older than me, and we get in crazy fist fights all the time still. Yeah. It's like we're just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But he fucking, I leave it, and I'm like literally shitting my pants. They're like, we really. Okay, literally, all they need me to do is say the fucking lines. I went in there literally, knees shaking, not being able to look up from the fucking sides, and just having just a full blown panic attack, and literally forgot everything I learned in my seminar to acting class when I was 15. And I left, and me and my brother's like, dude, and my brother doesn't pull punches. He's like, dude, what the fuck were you thinking? And I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up, dude. We can't go into this right now.
He knew you blew it.
Oh, he knew I blew it. And he's one of those guys that watches a lot of movies, so he knows acting. And he was like, dude, you fucking blew. You should have done it like this, man. I'm like, that, Frank, let's just drop it. Later in the night, we're like, I don't know, we have a couple beers or something. 16-year-old having beers.
Yeah.
We're having a couple beers or something. He's like, and we get in a fight, and we start you've a brother, obviously. You guys get physical and go crazy.
We used to. I pulled knives the whole time.
Oh yeah, me and my brother got in a fist fight probably 6 months ago, and we're both in our 20s, still fighting.
Yeah, well, that's fairly. Yeah,
he's a wrestler too, and he's a hard nosed guy too. Mm-hmm. So we just go after it, and he fucking just looks at me. He goes, "Dude, I heard you in that audition. You'll never make." He's just one of those people that'll just say the most hurtful thing you could ever hear, because you're like, "Fuck you, Frank." He's like, "I heard you in that audition. You were fucking embarrassing. You were the guy. Oh my god." He's like, "You suck at acting. You're fucking useless." And I just literally.
Did you snap at him?
I just went fucking berserk.
You saw black. You blacked out.
Blacked out.
You did double leg.
Big double leg. One time we got in a fight in Santa Monica. My brother got socked in the face by some dude. And when I blacked out. My brother's like in this fight and they're all drunk. He's like, punch me, motherfucker. His little like Armenian guy's like, you're testing me, bro. You're testing me, bro. And then he's like, fucking punch me, motherfucker. And he gets socked. And then I just went, it's over. And I just like picked him up with a double leg. And
Slam him?
He hit his head really, really hard.
He slammed him. That was a Pittsburgh double.
Pittsburgh double. The Steel City.
Did a pit double on him. Dude, wow. But
yeah, there's been a lot of moments. Have you ever had to use your wrestling in a fight?
No, I had to do it to defend myself, though. I was getting jumped at a kegger party at Arizona.
No, and you just fucking went straight.
I had to arm drag and get out of the. I was in a wolf pack.
Were you fighting back? Or
you no, I was just doing it just to
make my great escape. Arm dragging past everybody out the door.
I've told that story a lot. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, I was just getting into bad shit. Stealing drugs. Yeah, going to parties.
Yeah.
And I end up getting jumped at a party, and they're like, we know you're the kid that
coke, dude.
Yeah, and then I was stuck in a room at this apartment, at this house or whatever, and then they're like, let's take it outside, and then I got hit.
Dude, I got socked in the ear
in the back of your head. Have you get hit in the back? I got hit in the back of the head. I saw stars, And then they go, and then I got surrounded by the wolf pack, it was like a scene in a movie. Yeah. It was like the guy that we ripped off ended up being there, and he made his entrance into the circle. Like, remember me? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Remember
and
me,
he
Steve?
Had the Grateful Dead, the long.
No.
Remember me, and then all of his crew, and I'm just like, well, and my backup. Guess what?
Who?
Zero. They all left. They all left.
That was my buddy Rob.
Because I was in the room getting
the shit kicked out. Because
I thought they were upstairs to smoke a blunt.
It's hard to
smoke
a blunt. And when he's still.
And they had the three, four dudes had their. They had me posted, pinned up.
You're a little guy.
I'm a little. Yeah.
Like 100 pounds.
And then I'm looking at the guy. I went there. I'm like looking at him. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know you.
Oh.
Yeah. I was alone. I'm like, I have no backup.
Yeah. That's a hurtful. That's a hard.
Yeah. And so you asked me, did I use my wrestling in a way, but not the way you thought?
Dude, I got socked in the back of the head. Similar situation.
Yeah,
my buddy.
Boom.
Dude,
and I'm just like, oh.
My buddy was like, got jumped by these guys and then saw him. It came to one of our parties. And there was a bunch of these guys from the town over that were like, well, there's somehow this beef between these two towns. And he got jumped by these guys this night before because someone was like, I fucked your sister. He's like, what'd you say, motherfucker? And then like 30 of them jumped him.
Yeah.
And he had to go to the hospital for his hands because he fell on the concrete. It was terrible. And then we saw the guy like 3 weeks later at our party. And he walks up to this guy and he's like, and well, it's a long walk because the cops busted. And we had this long walk back to all our cars. And he's like, dude, I'm going to do it. And he's like, Tanner, you have to be my backup. It's a Matatuck party, which is our hometown. Yeah. They're going to back us up. Everyone's going to back me up. I have to do it or I'm going to be a bitch forever. I got to do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, Ryan, don't do it. And he's like,
it's
I gotta do it.
It's a story when things go down.
Oh, and it's weird. We're walking behind these guys for 5 minutes before he actually goes, hey, blah, blah, blah. Get the fuck over here.
And
he goes, then it's like this little white kid. What? He's like, dude, you know what you did? You fucking jumped me, motherfucker. He goes, and he says, I didn't do that. And he's just, yeah, you did. And then you just see the kid's confidence slowly rise as all his buddies start backing him up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, their whole fucking town was at our party. They probably had 15 guys just back him up. And then slowly the kid's like, yeah, motherfucker, I did fuck your girl, fuck your sister, and I said that shit. What are you going to do about it, bro? And then Ryan's just like, you can just see him, like, and it's just me and him. And, like, I had that moment with all the guys, all these, like, fucking small town kids, like, not very hard. Yeah. I just make the eye. I was like, you guys gonna help? And they're just like, see them slowly backing away.
They
want
to spectate. They want to spectate.
they're like, I remember there's a video of the fight from someone's car, and like, and then you hear someone back, should I go out and help? And someone's like, no, stay in the car. And like, it's like all of our friends. Like,
yeah.
I don't hurt, I don't hate it for it, but stay in the car. Don't do it. Don't go out. And like, literally, he just goes, you can see that on his head. He's like, and he's confronted by this kid. It's just me, him, probably two of our friends, and like 20 of those guys. And he's like, when am I going to back down again in front of this little kid punking me in front of all his homies? He's like, all right, you just lay and said like 1, 2, 3. just threw a haymaker right to this kid's face, and then he just got swarmed. Literally, you've never seen a swarm of people swarm on one person. Yeah. And I just went full survival. Oh, just kick like you. No, yeah, kick you, no, punch it, dude. His nose is broken.
It's
it terrible.
A circle, yeah, they'll kick you. They'll trap you.
And it was all on video too. And, and like, and then I just started going full wrestling where I had to start grabbing people. Yeah, Matt return. Get off him. I'm trying not to throw punches. And then one kid just fucking, I picked him a double leg slam on his back. I hit him once, and then some kid just, you see it in the video, just rocks up, hits me right in the ear, and just. And like the next day, I had to take a flight, and I woke up in the morning. I was like, and it just went.
Oh, fist out.
No, you know when you blow into your nose, you can pop your eardrums.
Oh no!
Instead of like that, it just you could have done it for all day. We just felt the air coming out of your ears, like you popped your eardrum, and it was fucking gnarly. But dude, it was so funny. Like he's like the kid, like slowly, he's like, "What? I didn't say that." You see, all his buddies back in. He's just slowly, just like. Yeah, I said it, motherfucker. What are you gonna do about it? And yeah. He's like, oh man, what am I gonna do about
it?
It was a movie. Yeah. Similar to yours, when the little kid comes in.
Yeah, hey, remember me?
You remember me? That's fucking hilarious.
All right, man. That was great. Dude.
Hell yeah, man. I had a great time.
Can we plug all your stuff? Like, yeah, dude. What's your Instagram?
Tanner Zagarino. I think Twitter stands like the movie's called Pool Boy Nightmare. Me and my buddy
Pool Boy Nightmare. Okay.
It's a Lifetime film.
You guys are gonna love it. Please tune in and watch my man give it a watch. Yeah.
You know what you're getting with those type of flicks, but
yeah.
Hopefully this one's a little more grounded and you like me. Okay. Go for me. Come for me. Yeah. And the movie, but come for me.
Do I need more influencers on here?
Dude, I don't want to. Don't think of me as an influencer. Don't you ever say that again, Steve.
No,
I don't know. You talked about the Pittsburgh double, and it may be coming your way real quick.
I didn't mean it like that, but you know, like, do you think? You know what? Man, no, I'll just keep doing my thing.
Bro, you have real cool content, and I dig what you do.
Thank you.
I'm a fan. I was a fan first, and listening to you, and I just reached out to you first.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Once you start talking about pit wrestling and Philip, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I knew we had a common ground. That's why
I could talk to this guy. Yeah.
And dude, that's not really. I tried my best to get away from that culture of it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm just taking acting full time and auditioning and just living, you know, working for the man. No, I'm just working.
So what's in the future for future projects? Like
future project is this, that's, you know, COVID, man, really put some halts on some things
for sure.
We just shot this short film about 3 weeks ago. I just saw the final cut of it. It's
what's it called?
It's called Vinnie Mancuso's Rules for Good Business, and I play Vinnie Mancuso here.
Yeah,
and it's a skit short film that me and my buddy Spartan he came up with the story. We co-wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, super. It's gonna.
Where can people watch that?
It's not released yet, but I'll be posting on my social media about it very soon, and we'll be.
You got to come back, man. You got to come back.
Yeah, I'd love to, and I'll get you. I'll connect you with some wrestlers.
That's the thing. Let me rephrase. How do I get more wrestlers?
Yeah, dude, that's what's up. And is it funny?
I want to get Filippi. I want to get Piccinini.
Dude, they'll come out here for a camp, and I'll have them or come even, on the podcast.
It doesn't matter. It could be junior college. I don't care.
I would. I could get you connected with anybody, dude. They would love
MMA
to.
MMA fighters, man.
You have a lot of MMA fighters on here.
I had Josh.
Eric Coke.
Eric Coke. Who's the other?
Jesse.
You ready for the fights this weekend?
Who's on it?
Dude, Adesanya Costa.
Adesanya.
Oh my God, that's gonna be crazy.
Adesanya,
I love Israel.
He's a tough guy, huh? I mean, has he lost?
I love when you talk like that. I love it's like
he hasn't.
He
lost.
Is very tough.
He is
Steve.
Very.
He's
good.
Very
he hasn't
tough.
Lost.
He's never lost. Neither has Costa.
You know who my man Justin Gaethje though.
You think he could be?
I think he could be Khabib.
Yeah. But dude, Khabib's so good at wrestling.
I don't care. I mean, Justin wrestled. Division one.
I know people.
Division
that,
one.
But I know
come
stories.
On, dude, this
he's
is
no, he's the one two-time All-American, or maybe one-time All-American. But I know he's a beast. I got recruited to that school.
If Justin could keep it on his feet,
the leg kicks is what he says is going to do it. He says
okay,
I'm going to leg kick him.
Justin leg kicks Khabib's, and Khabib doesn't take him down with his Russian wrestling. I think he has a shot.
But the thing is
right?
I think you think so too.
I think he does. He's a tough.
No. He has the best chance out of anybody.
He's tough, dude.
He's got crazy hands, and what he did to Tony Ferguson really showed that guy could beat fucking anyone.
He's no joke.
No joke.
But Gaethje, dude.
I fucking
love
Gaethje.
Root for
you got to get Gaethje on the podcast, dude.
Oh, I'd love to have.
You got to reach out. That would be so tight.
How
dude.
Do we get Gage?
Dude, I should get. I'll get. I'd love to link you up with Nick Piccini and those guys. I would love. I don't Nick, have the connect. Yeah. Oh, and also a good friend of mine. Shout out Gregor Gillespie. He's a good friend of mine in the UFC.
I just had fear of John Smith sitting right here.
Yeah.
You tell me that story.
Oh my God, he's a gnarly dude.
Yeah, no coaches. Oh, dude, no coaches are allowed.
Some stories.
About no coaches him, yeah. allowed here. No All right, coaches. Well, let's wrap it up. No coaches. I have Cormier. That's the exception.
You'd be great.
I have Daniel Cormier, but no other coaches.
Yeah.
I'll have the Gilroy coaches.
Coaches are scary.
They're scary.
Yeah, Gilroy coaches would be great.
Yeah, I'll have the Gilroy. Maybe the St. John's. I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
We'll converse.
Yeah.
But, my people will be in touch with you.
Yeah. There's too much respect involved. Like, I still, there's a fear in that.
Yeah, even as a grown man.
Not making weight. Wow.
Not making weight.
All right, so that's our episode. That's longer, way past an hour, huh?
Dude, that's really good.
Dude, also
really
my first
good.
Podcast
really,
ever.
Really good. You did great.
I don't
that
know what good
flew
is.
Flew by.
Dude, yeah. But flew we have a lot by. In common, too.
A
so.
Lot. It just,
we're
just,
pals.
Yeah.
We've just become best
I loved it. Loved it. Yeah. Loved it. I would love to go to Pittsburgh. I want to go to this the tournament.
Dude, we should
one
go to
day.
NCAAs.
Yeah,
we should
set
up
go.
With
that. I'll
if
pay
there
the
wrestling
fee.
Matches, we should get together
I
and watch
it. I would love it. I would love it. I would see. I would see even the... The blood round. Those were the best matches.
Dude, yeah.
Because they fight. They're fighting for
your life, dude. And yeah. The rest of your life, you say you're all American or not. Crazy.
I love that. Dude, I love that. I love wrestling. We'll talk more. I mean, I could have talked 3 hours long. I mean, I could have just gone.
Dude, when wrestling comes on, let's get together and let's find a way to watch it.
I would love it. I would love it. I'm a fan. But with me, I'm obsessive because I'll watch a match over and over.
Watch the technique and stuff?
Yeah, I've watched the Sebastian Rivera, Spencer Lee matches.
You love him, huh? You're a big dude. So,
I'm
shout
a
out Seabass.
I'm a big Seabass.
You love that guy.
You know, he's at Rutgers now.
Yes, he's going to be amazing at Rutgers. Dude.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We gotta go.
We need to talk 3 hours.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sorry.
So we have a Patreon attached to the show. If you want to help support the platform, go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby. The website, StevieWeebyShow.com. The newest patrons are Justice Varen, Mel K, and John Rehill. Still editing the music video, The Pond in Which We Travel. Just bear with us. Working on a new Gene Wilder concept album, Stir Crazy concept albums. I'm in 3 songs in deep. My Instagram/QUANGOU, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com is where all the music's at. We have a P.O. Box series. If you want to send your packages or letters to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. It was a pleasure, my man.
Dude, hell yeah.
The best of luck
Great
to you.
Great to be here.
Hell yeah.